All right, take your Bibles, if you will, please. Find the book of Acts. Acts. A-C-T-S. Acts chapter number 4. Look at verse number 29. Acts 4:29. And then if you would read all of the verses with me, all three verses, 29, 30, and 31. Ready? And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
Here in Acts chapter 4, let me give you a foundation and then we'll jump into the sermon. Peter and James and John and the disciples have all been through Pentecost, and 3,000 were saved and baptized in one day. Not long thereafter, they were preaching again, and the Bible says that there were 5,000 men saved besides women and children. Could have been as many as 10 to 15,000 people saved in that second meeting. We know of at least 3,000 being saved in the other. That means 15 to 20,000 people getting saved in just a short amount of time. That would be like the entire city of Martinsburg getting saved. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? People are getting excited about being saved. They're getting excited about the truth. And the political leadership is not liking it. You say, well, preacher, how do we... great revivals taking place. I don't quite understand that. Let me tell you something. On March 18th, 1990, while I worked, when I was in college, my wife was just finishing up. I was graduated. We had our first big Sunday in Hammond, where we had 5,195 people walk an aisle for salvation in one day. 5,195 people walked an aisle for salvation in one day in one church. Years later, May 3rd, 1998, again, I was working there at that time, we had 5,528 people baptized in one day. Nearly over 10,000 people saved that one day. Now, you don't understand. We had, I think, 32 baptistries going nonstop. One man can baptize about 250 to 300 people, and you're dead for 3 days. By the time you get done baptizing 300 people, you're shot. You say, how do you know? Because I baptized just under 300 people. And you say, I just can't understand numbers like that. Well, I can tell you this. I've seen it personally. It's possible. Here's what you have to understand. People were getting excited about God and truth. And the politicians were losing their power. And I'm going to use this term appropriately. The Jewish leadership was losing control over the Hebrew people. The religion didn't have the power that the power of God had. And that was making the religious as well as the political leaders mad. They probably put signs up in their yards, no soliciting here. Well, soul winning is not constituted by soliciting. Solicitation is when the kids from the schools come around wanting you to buy candy. Now, they won't stop them from doing that, but you knock on doors giving people the gospel, they want to call the police on you, and let them call the police, because the police will come out and say, there ain't nothing we can do. Right. Not a thing. Well, this is private property. If people are living there, it's not private property. Not as far as an HOA goes. Well, we have HOA rules. Guess what? That only qualifies for the people that live there, not the people that are going door to door there.
That's right.
And an HOA rule is a strong suggestion. It's not law.
Amen.
Now, don't get me started. Amen. God's power was beginning to fall on Israel in a very powerful way. The gospel was starting to spread throughout the world, and it was taking off like wildfire. May I say something? The politicians didn't like it back then. They still don't like it. Hasn't changed in 2,000 years. And the politicians and the religious leaders are trying to muzzle the Baptist preachers. Yeah, they threatened them with laws and ordinances and false interpretation of laws, like you can't have church during COVID.
Right.
We have a governor's mandate. I called the governor's office myself. I said, I'm having church. And the governor's office said, good, that mandate does not require churches. You're under a different set of rules totally, and you're supposed to have church. I called the Secretary of State, who is now our governor, and said, if they do come to my church, what should I do? He said, here's my personal cell number, and if they do, call me or have somebody call me, and I'll take care of it.
Amen.
I said, well, as far as I know, a governor's mandate is nothing but a strong suggestion. It's not a rule of law. He said, Pastor, you're exactly right.
Good.
But for over a year, every Sunday we had church, I stood at that door before Sunday school and before church wondering, as the police went up and down the road, when they were going to pull in. Say, why? Because I know how man's laws work. Everybody was afraid. Just like the mayor of Houston, the sodomite, who's trying to pass laws against Baptist preachers and preachers preaching against sodomy being sinful. Oh yeah, that's been happening for 5 years now. And they're trying to say if you do that, that's a hate crime.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? When you use the right terminology, they can't stop you.
Amen. That's right.
There's a reason I use the word sodomite.
Right.
Number one, they hate that word worse than any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Preachers are being threatened with lawsuits and jail time over preaching the way I preach. Well, I hate to tell you something. You might have to come to the jail to visit me preaching, but I'm still going to preach it. It's time for people to be bold. Isn't it amazing how bold people are for wrong, but how scared we are for right? You know what really bothers me? Why is it that the devil's crowd is more bold than God's crowd? Why are people that are doing wrong have more boldness than people that have the truth? Peter and John boldly stood against the threats, and they began to preach. The Bible says that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They gathered everybody together and said, look, you're going to have get some courage. You're going to get some boldness about you. And the Holy Spirit descended in verse 31 says, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Please don't get angry with me for saying this, but I'm getting a little sick and tired of sissy britches Christians who are afraid to give the gospel.
Amen.
Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Well, bless God, I'd rather offend somebody and get them the gospel than not to offend them and they die and go to hell. Well, we just need to love everybody, and we shouldn't preach the way that offends somebody. Well, if they get offended, at least I know they're listening.
Yeah.
Folks, if people don't hear the truth, what's going to happen? I admire Peter and John. I admire their boldness. I don't know about you, but I struggle with boldness at times. I know you have a hard time believing that. But I have to work it up. I did not want to preach the sermon I preached this morning. Be honest with you. I struggle with boldness. Nearly 46 years ago, when God called me to preach, I was a shy, introverted, scrawny little 13-year-old. I'd fail book reports in school because I wouldn't get up and talk in front of the class. I know that's hard for you to understand. But I was afraid of my own shadow. How many times have you heard me say? I hope they're not home. What is that? I'm afraid too, just like you are. But what do? You go out anyway and you... You see, I don't like to have to be bold. But I understand something. It doesn't matter what I like. It's what I need to do. You don't do everything in life you like. The only things you do in life that you like, if that's all you do, you will be a very selfish and unsuccessful person. Successful people do a lot of things they don't like. Brother Roloff used to say, you make a living from 9 to 5, you become successful from 5 to 9. In other words, you got to get your carcass out of bed early and get to work before everybody else. Stay late and work longer than anybody else. That's when you find out what success is, not just clocking in, clocking out, and being done. You think I always enjoy getting up early in the morning? No. But I enjoy waking most of you up in the process. Wait a second. I don't always enjoy every part of my job. Every time there's a tough situation, I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy going to the bedside of someone who's about to die. That's not something you just say, oh, look what I get to do. My wife's been with me to many of those. And the whole trip she hears me say, I don't know what I'm going to say. I can't help them. There's nothing I'm going to say that's going to fix this. And she's always kind and says, you're not there to fix it. You're just there to be there for them. And that's a true statement, but as a pastor, you want to help somebody. You want to fix it. That's not something you can fix. As I preached a couple weeks ago for Brother C, when his church found out that he was having cancer and stuff, I told my wife, I said, it seems like my lot in life has been to preach to the hardest of situations. How'd you like to preach the first service after your pastor found out he's got cancer real bad? I preached college chapel the night Brother Hiles was under the knife for heart surgery and died the next morning. You ought to try to preach to that crowd. I could go on and on and on and on. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of times you don't feel like doing something, but boldness has to kick in and say, doesn't matter how I feel, this is what I'm supposed to say and this is what I'm supposed to do. Mamas, you know what I'm talking about. When your kid wakes you up at 1 in the morning and 3 in the morning and 4 in the morning and 5:30 in the morning, it takes boldness to not pinch their head off the next day and then spit down the hole. I want to talk to you tonight about boldness. Number one. Sounds like a strange statement, but one that you need. Boldness is not needed if there's no fear. If there's no fear, there's no need for boldness. You can be brash with no fear. There are people that have no respect. They don't fear anything. They're not bold. They're just brash. Bible calls it brutish or brash. No. Brutish is like a bull. He just puts his head down and just starts pushing through and he doesn't care what he pushes over. Yeah. Now, that's not boldness. That's just brute force. Intimidation. Boldness is, I don't want to go through that. But here we go. Boldness is not rudeness. In eighth grade, I went to public school all the way through eighth grade. My eighth grade year of school, I carried my Bible to school every day. We had 2,000 students in the junior high that I went to, Edison Junior High. It was the eighth and ninth graders. 2,000 students in that one school. Every class I went to, my Bible sat on my desk. Then I pulled out the books that I needed for that class. I had an English teacher that hated my guts. Every paper I wrote, I put the gospel in it. She would fail me. Well, Mr. Hartwick, my principal, his mother lived catty-corner across the street, Mrs. Morgan, and I mowed her grass. I remember going to the principal's office and saying, I'm not trying to complain, but she's failing me on content, not on grammar. She's picked the topics I've written about. He would read it. I'll take care of this, Mr. Bush. And I would get it back, usually got an A on it. I remember one time she said, well, I'm picking the topic. I'm going to pick a topic about a bus ride. Our church buses were orange. I mean, orange. So I wrote a paper on riding the big orange bus to church. She wrote a big old F on that paper. I took it back to the principal. He brought her out in the hallway with me. He said, what's your problem, lady? She said, everything's about church. Church. He even puts his Bible on his desk. Everything he has to say about church. He said, did you grade it grammatically? No. Did you pick this topic? Yes, but not about going to church. He said, is that what you told them in your instruction? No. He said, then grade the paper. When I was leaving eighth grade, I was going to the Christian school the next year, and word got to her that I was not going to be back the next year. And I was very happy. She pulled me out in the hall, and she put her crusty little smoke-laden finger in my face with her nasty breath, and she said, young man, you're not going to amount to anything. You are stubborn. You're too spiritual for your own good, and you're not going to amount to anything. You'll never go to college. You'll never graduate. You'll never make anything of your life. How'd you like to have your eighth grade English teacher tell you that? Well, just so you know, I graduated from Bible college with a minor in English grammar. I didn't listen to her. But I'll tell you one thing. I had people who knocked books out of my hands. I had people open my Bible and spit in it. I had people trying to shove me into lockers. I had people rolling joints in class and trying to pass them over my desk. And as they'd come by, I'd go and hit the teacher in the back of the head with them. And whose is that? I said, theirs. They would bring the police in with their dog or their drug-sniffing dogs every once in a while to sniff lockers. And people would gather around me, Bush, I got a bag of weed in my locker. What am I going to do? I said, go to jail. I don't know how many people I won to Christ at school over that mess. When they were in trouble, they wanted to get close to me. Can I tell you something? That took boldness. I went to Christian school. You know, I had to take it a Christian school, take a stand at a Christian school as much as I did in the public school. Can I tell you why? Because everybody's a sinner. Boldness only comes when there's fear. Do you think I had all that energy in me? No. My eighth grade science class, Mr. Heron, we got to the section on evolution. I began to question, began to fire creation at him. And for the entire period, he and I battled back and forth. After class, he said, Mr. Bush, come to my desk. I thought, oh, brother, here it comes. He said, you don't have to tell anybody this, but I don't agree with it either. He said, I have to teach it. He said, I've presented the topic. He said, if you do your homework, I'll let you talk about creation for the next 4 days and we'll cover the whole week. I went home and called my pastor. My pastor loaded my truck with everything he had. And for the next 4 days, I basically taught science class about creation. Now, he played the devil's advocate, and I just kept firing back. There was a kid that lived a half a block down the street. John Wilds lived down the road from us. Sat in that English class. Or that science class. We rode the bus together. On the way home on Wednesday or Thursday of that week, he sat by me and I won him to Christ. Amen. We talked to his parents and he came to church. His mom and dad came to church and got saved. That whole family came to church and God changed their life. Amen. Can I tell you why some scrawny little kid wasn't afraid to raise his hand and say, that ain't right? In a public school? Yeah, had my Bible, started spitting verses at him. Amen. It takes a little bit of boldness. Was you afraid, preacher? Scared to death. I had people telling me I was going to go to jail because I had a Bible. You can't have that in a public school. I said, you can in America. Yeah. I had teachers fighting me. Didn't care. Boldness is a stand for right without changing right to stand. Boldness doesn't let consequences keep it from doing or standing for right. Amen. Do you hear what I said? That means family. That means friends. I've had to take a stand against friends in the ministry. They're going the wrong direction. It hurts me. It grieves me, but they're the ones changing, not me. God didn't change. That book didn't change. Why should I change? So, boldness is not needed if there's no fear. Number two, boldness is a planned courage. Let me say that again. Boldness is a planned courage. I have the first 4 seconds lined out for every door I knock on. If I can get through 4 seconds, I can get through this. I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church. We're going through the air. Y'all get to go to church anywhere regularly? If I can get that out, I can talk all day long. But those 4 or 5 seconds, I don't have to think about what I'm saying. I already know what I'm going to say. Because if I can get that out, I can handle any situation. But it's getting to the point where I can get that planned courage out. Once I got that out, something happens. I remember one of the big days we had in Hammond that I talked about. We were preaching out on the streets. We had street-wide meetings and area-wide meetings. We would bring people into the church then to get baptized. And I'd preach, and sometimes there'd be 300, 400, 500 people in an empty lot. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but usually the only people that were fair-skinned were us. And we were in places where, how many of you know the name Al Capone? Okay, that's the cities where we were at. Okay, Dixmoor, Harvey, all those areas of South Chicago, that's where I was at. And honest to God, I remember visiting, and there was a black church going on. And we had left flyers. There was a guy outside, and he said, are you them having that church service? I said, yeah. He said, come on in. The pastor wants you. We were in Harvey. I walked into that church and the pastor looked at me and obviously I was the visiting preacher. I was the cream in the Oreo cookie, let me tell you. And there was lots of shell. And it was, oh my soul. He said, are you the one? I said, yes, sir. He said, all right, hang on. He prayed. He said, everybody follow him. They got a church meeting down the road. Go. I was like the Pied Piper leading an entire church building down the road. We got up and preached. I'm not kidding. The pastor's wife got saved. People in that church got saved. That pastor walked up to me. He was weeping. He said, how come y'all haven't been here before? It was amazing what God... Was I scared? You ought to walk into one of them places like that one time. I thought I was going to get chewed out. You say, what was it? You just have to stand for right. It is a planned right. I plan my sermons. I just don't get up and just talk. I have an outline. It's planned. I have statements that are planned. Usually the toughest statements I'll read. You say, why? So that I get it right. I plan difficult appointments and difficult situations so that I know how to work my way through them. When my children were at home, not after they're married, but when my children were little and I'd have to punish them, I planned how I was going to punish them. They hated it. They still hate it. They would have rather taken the beating than wait on me to plan everything out and the talk that went before it. But may I say something? That's how you don't get angry and lose it. It's called courage. It's called boldness, planned. How many times I've said to one of my children, did mom make you do wrong? No. Did dad? No. Did your brother or sister? Yeah. No. Did somebody else make you do wrong? No. Well, I love you, but I love God more, and I'm supposed to obey God, and I love him, and you don't love mom and dad because you're not obeying. You hate us according to the Bible. No, we do. Yes, you do. We'd go through this. Say, what was that? It was planned boldness. I can't tell you how many times I had to work myself up into it. I was a principal in a large Christian school. We ran 200 plus in our Christian school. I can't tell you how many times I'd be sitting there having a great day and then I got to punish some child. I'd go shut my door and practice my principal face. They'd come in and I'd get real stern, mean with them. Get the way I needed to get it done. They'd walk out. I'd shut the door and go, ha, ha, ha. I'm back to being happy again. There's times they'd see something cute, and I'd say, just a minute. I'd walk out of the office, walk outside my office, outside, and laugh because they said something that I thought was ridiculously funny. Have to get my composure back and walk back in because I didn't want to laugh in front of them. You say, why? Because kids say some of the silliest things that are so funny. A little kindergartner doing wrong, and I thought his parents came in to paddle him, and I thought, well, maybe he's getting closer to getting saved. I said, Doc, I said, do you know what sin is? Oh, yeah, it's bad, 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 bad. I said, have you ever sinned? Oh, no, not me. Okay, we're not quite there yet. Well, let's go through the gospel. I said, do you know what happens to sinners when they die? Where do they go? He said, school? Do you know how hard it is to keep a straight face? Mom and Dad looked at me and I said, son, some people might think school is this place, but no. It took everything I had not to laugh. When he walked out of the office, I belly laughed. 20 years later, I'm still laughing about it. I planned a long time ago, 13 and a half years ago when we started this church, exactly where this church would stand. Amen. We're not changing it. Amen. I'm not changing for anybody. Amen. We're going to stand on the Word of God and the Word of God only. Yes, we're going to preach it as is. We're going to obey it as is. And we're going to do it God's way. Amen. I don't make apologies for that. Amen. You say, well, preacher, that takes a lot of boldness. I guess so, because it takes a lot of fear too. Number three, how do you get boldness? You have to yield to the Holy Spirit and let the Word of God speak through you. Boldness requires yielding to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Word of God to speak through you. I have a sign right here on my pulpit. Anybody that's ever stood here has seen it. It says, I yield to the Holy Spirit. When I get to making a tough statement or get to a tough part of a sermon, I look at that and in my mind I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I yield. Because I don't think I can say what I got to say. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit kicks in and does what I cannot do. Amen. The Holy Spirit is God. And may I say this, God's not afraid of any human. So if I have God in me, that means I don't have to fear what people think. I don't have to fear what people say. Is that not what it says in the Psalms? That we're not to fear what any man says or does? That's a paraphrase. I understand that. The Holy Spirit is truth. And its truth is to work through me, and I'm not to change that truth. They spake the word of God with boldness. And when you speak the word of God with boldness, the Holy Spirit can do his work. I wonder how many people in here, people were afraid to witness to you, and some crazy nut Baptist knocked on your door and gave you the truth and you got saved. I wonder how many people sat in this church. I remember when Brother Larry and Miss Sherry came to church first time when we were down in the old tire building. They walked in, I said, well, they said, we're looking for a church. You know, Brother Larry, all business. And I said, well, we're not real fancy. He said, good, neither am I. Came in, they were sitting about where Katie is, back on this side. I got done preaching that day. Brother Larry's knuckles were white from grabbing the back of the chair. He was so under conviction. Miss Sherry couldn't take it. She walked down the aisle. I think my wife or somebody led her to was leading her to the Lord at the altar. I bumped one of our men and said, go back and ask that man if he needs to get saved. One of our men walked back and bumped him and asked him if he needed to get saved, and boom, down the aisle they came. I baptized them next week. They brought a whole bunch of family members. They all got saved. I led Sherry's brother to the Lord, preached his funeral. I've preached funerals for I don't know how many times for that family, and people getting all saved throughout that whole family. You say, why? Because somebody preached boldly. I didn't know who it was. Thank God for them. It takes the boldness to get the gospel out. The Holy Spirit is truth, and he works through his truth. You know, we're to act in the Spirit, not react. We're not supposed to react to people. We're supposed to act. That's planned. When it comes time where you don't know what to do, you slow down and say, now what? Okay. I can't tell you how many times I've had to stop and say, Holy Spirit, guide me. I have no idea how to fix this. Bring back to my mind everything I need as the situation arises. And sure enough, I'm sitting there and things come out of my mouth and I'll say, man, that was good. Where'd that come from? I'm writing things down and they don't think I'm writing notes. I'm writing down what I just said, like, that's a sermon. Say, what is that? The Holy Spirit using his words through me to help somebody? By the way, when it's over, give him the praise for it, not yourself. Because you didn't help him, God did. You just got to be the voice piece. You just got to be the microphone. That's it. Number four, and lastly. Everybody look at me. Realize that boldness is not about you. Boldness is not about how you look. Boldness is how does truth look. Boldness is how does right look, not how do you look. Boldness requires you getting out of the way and lifting up the truth. I'm not bold for myself. I'm bold for the Lord. My family knows this. I hate crowds. I'm not comfortable in crowds. When we go somewhere, I like just kind of sliding in, sliding out, going undetected. I love Brother C. I love going to hear Brother Fugit. But I hate going over there because doggone it, just about every time he has me get up there and go up and pray in front of everybody. I tell my wife, I hope he's not doing it again. Say, why? I'm not there for that. I'm there to get what y'all are getting. It's the one time a year I get to sit with my wife in church. I don't have to sit on a platform. Now, wait a second. I'm not comfortable that way. Say, well, preacher, you don't appear that way. Yeah, it's called faking it. You put me in a public arena, I'm very sheepish. Yeah, that's an old goat. But may I say something? If it's time for me to get up and say something for the Lord, hang on. It's coming out. Because it's not about me, it's about the truth. I'm bold for Christ and the work of God. I'm bold for the word of God, but I'm not bold for me. I have to work up my courage to do it. I'll be bold against those that oppose God. I'll be bold against those that are anti-Christian. Can I tell you why? Because we're supposed to snatch people from hell. One of our good people this morning said, "Preacher, you're talking about the gates of hell and how we're supposed to go in and grab people out of hell. A firefighter goes into the fire as everybody else is coming out." And I said, "Yep, and we're God's firefighters." That's exactly right. We ought to have at least enough boldness that a firefighter has to go in and put the fire out to help people. You know, can I tell you something? Listen to me carefully. You know that the lost world doesn't want you to live like them? I wonder how many times you've heard this in public somewhere. "Well, I thought you were Christian. I thought Christians are supposed to live this way." You know, even the lost world knows how we're supposed to live. They don't want you to be like them. That's why these churches that want to look like the world, act like the world, sing like the world, dress like the world, have the attitude and the focus of the world, aren't worth anything. It's a social club. It's not a church. You see, they want someone with boldness that's going to tell them the truth. The lost world needs to see Christ in you. You're the only Bible they will ever read until they get saved. So we ought to do it with boldness. The Bible says, "Now the Lord behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." They spake the word of God with boldness. May I say something? You have nothing to fear. One of our good ladies came to me tonight and said, "Preacher, gave out 40 tracts yesterday. Had one person say they didn't want it. I just meant I went and found somebody else that did." What is that? Boldness. I love it. Then they picked up another 100 tracts and said, "I want to pass out 500 myself." I love it. That takes boldness. You say, is that them lifting themselves up? No, because it's not as easy on them as it is anybody else. They're just willing to put that past and push through to give God what God wants. Because boldness takes you out of the equation. "Preacher, how do you say some of the things you say?" Because it's based on that book, not on me. There's times I have to counsel pastors. Sometimes I got to be pretty tough on them. "Preacher, where do some of those..." Right there. I had a preacher call me this week. He asked my advice. I said, "Do you really want the answer to that?" He said, "I do." I said, "Are you sure?" He said, "I do." I said, "You're not going to like the answer." He said, "Well, tell me anyway." I told him, he said, "You're right, I don't like the answer." He said, "But the reason I don't like the answer is because you're right and I'm wrong. I need to fix that." I said, "Yes, sir." I wasn't unkind. I wasn't ugly. I wasn't mean. I warned him 3 times. But it didn't change the answer. I know some preachers, they'll change their answer based on what they want. They think that person wants to hear. You're not going to get that here. I'm just going to tell you what God said. Like it or lump it. Because that's what I'm obligated to do. That's where our boldness, it's found in a truth, not in ourself. Fear has to be present or it's just brutish. Brash. I'm not talking about being mean and nasty. Did you know you can be bold without being mean and ugly?
That's right.
Being bold doesn't mean you're like a bull in a china shop, busting everything up. Being bold just means you're going to stand on the truth, and it doesn't matter who opposes you. You're not going to change it based on the situation. Our world would call it situational ethics. No, it's called God's ethics. Let's live by it. Amen? That with all boldness we may speak the words of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We need a dose of boldness. Where we work, where we live, everywhere we go, we need a dose of boldness. Let me say tonight, preacher, I needed something in that sermon tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, many, many hands. Thank you. You may put them down. Maybe we ought to come to an altar and yield to the Holy Spirit so that we might be bold for truth.